There's a constellation of 77 symptoms that can occur during perimenopause. I know, right? It's a lot.
My gosh. I'm pretty sure I've had all 77.
Amen, sister. I'm right there with you.
Are you raising your family while also feeling like you're still growing up yourself? Do you wonder if you are getting it right? Or do you ask, where's the roadmap to building a happy, healthy life? Welcome to Growing Up with Dr. Sarah. She's a pediatrician and a mom, and she helps the whole family.
Hi, I'm Dr. Sarah Adams, a board-certified pediatrician, but I'm not your pediatrician. Feel free to use my podcast as helpful information, but in no way do I intend my podcast to replace the advice of your physician. Your physician knows you and is in the best position to provide medical advice. As most of us can recall, puberty is a memorable time in one's life, particularly because of how challenging a transitional time of life it is, both emotionally and physically. So many changes. Well, it isn't the only transitional period in a woman's life. So is the time when we come upon perimenopause, another stage in one's life marked again by hormonal changes as a new identity is being defined. So what do we do when moms and their teens are experiencing puberty and perimenopause at the same time? It can make for a complicated, if not explosive, household. And here to talk about this very precise moment is mom, celebrity yoga instructor, and doctor of kinesiology, Desi Bartlett. I should call you Dr. Bartlett now. Congratulations on recently defending your doctoral dissertation.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be back with you, Sarah. You are such a joy and a light and provide so much education and inspiration to so many. And it's really just my honor to be with you once again.
Well, I'm so happy to welcome you back to Growing Up with Dr. Sarah. And the last time you were on the show, we talked about that connection between feeling joy and better health. But today we're talking about another area of your expertise. As a mom and a teen, of a teen and a preteen, you're on this interesting journey of really navigating puberty with your children, but also perimenopause yourself. And so I'm really glad that we're talking about it. Why is it so hard for our society to talk openly about these life changes that often happen at the same time?
So menopause in general, I think we're just beginning to sort of remove the social stigma. And what I was looking at in my doctoral studies was specifically how yoga and education can help to empower us through this transition. And while I was studying, you know, at the dining room table and writing my dissertation and doing all the things, I had my 16-year-old and 11-year-old, a little bit younger, both of them at the time, studying next to me. And I realized, like, oh my gosh, we're all going through the same thing at the same time, just sort of in reverse directions, if you will, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we've got this whole idea of puberty, which can last, I don't know, like up to 10 years, depending on the definition. And then we've got perimenopause, 7 to 10 years, depending on the definition. But we've got that one day of the onset of the menses for girls in teenage years. And we've got that one day of the cessation of the menses for perimenopause into menopause. And we never really talk about how they're mirrors of one another. So I think it's so important to start this conversation, especially for those of us who, like me, I had my kids older in life. And so I think that's becoming more and more common where we're sort of having this opportunity to establish our career and then have our babies. And I'm not saying that's right for anyone, and there's no judgment around that. It's simply right. Becoming a little bit more common. And therefore, I think it leads us to this conversation, which is so important.
I would agree. I mean, as a pediatrician of almost 30 years, this really isn't a topic that I've discussed with families, but I have to believe that it is something that is happening coincidingly. And part of normalizing that conversation is really talking openly about how our body's changing, how our feelings are changing. Would you share with those that are listening, like, what do you wish you knew at their age? And like, what do you wish you could share with a teenager? And what are you still learning about yourself now?
I wish that I could share with a teenager that the feelings of sort of wanting to have these intense experiences or live on the edge or have that affirmation from friends is totally normal. That feeling like you're so tired and you just need more sleep is totally normal. And what I'm realizing is that in this stage of life for me, oh my gosh, I want sleep, you know? It's kind of the same thing. So I'm really just, again, normalizing the conversation around what our bodies need. And instead of trying to sort of like tamp it down with caffeine or sugar or whatever kind of stimulant and go, you know, I can do this. No, like pause, breathe, and ask your body, how can I honor you today? And I think we can do that in both phases.
Absolutely. I thought about, you know, when I was thinking about the questions that we were going to talk about, I thought to myself, what do I wish I knew as a teen going through puberty? And I have to tell you, I really came up with something very similar, where I wish I knew that my emotions weren't like too much, that they were real, and that all these changes in my body and my mind were normal. So I love that you're sharing that. Let's get back, Desi, if you don't mind, to the basics, because we're talking about all these hormonal changes. What actually happens in perimenopause, and how does it overlap with what our teens are actually experiencing? Because it's wild how both ends of the spectrum can be happening at the same time, right?
Yes, for sure. So first of all, let me just take a moment to back up and define menopause. Menopause is one day in time, and it represents 12 months of not having a cycle. So the day that you haven't had your period for 1 year, that day is menopause. Everything before that is pre, everything after that is post, and the transition time before and the 1 year after is peri. So it's kind of like, whoa, you know, we throw out all these terms and what do they mean? So that's just a little breakdown of what they mean. Now, during perimenopause, we have this sharp decline in estrogen, as well as progesterone and testosterone. And so what we see things like vasomotor symptoms, hot flashes, night sweats, all the things, yes.
Yes.
And it becomes a cascade. So once you have that hot flash or night sweat in the middle of the night, now that can lead to sleep disturbances. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden you can't get back to sleep because your sheets are wet. Maybe that happens like 4 or 5 times a night and you have to keep getting up. Then maybe you can't get back to sleep, so you go have a snack. Then you wake up and you want that sugar, that caffeine to kind of like get up and go. And now little by little, we see the scale changing.
Yes.
All of that leads to mood disturbances, which can be anxiety. It can be depression in some cases. But just imagine, like, if you're sweating all night, you can't sleep, you're hungry, oh, of course you're not going to feel so great, right? And then when it comes to teens, I'm going to invite you to speak about the cascade of hormones that are happening, because that's your expertise.
Thank you for explaining that definition, because I think as women are going through it, they're like, what part of this am I in at this moment? So getting back to teenagers, as women's hormones are going down, teenagers, their hormones, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, are going up. And it's so interesting how, and it typically happens right around the same time that women, based on, like you said, what their childbearing years were. And so that can be an extremely explosive time. I mean, things are just cycling, not just the periods, but also the emotions and the dynamic of everything. It's just like everyone's on the edge, I think. So many moms feel constantly on edge, and their teens do too. How do we make sense of that dynamic where everyone feels triggered or misunderstood, Desi?
So I think it's really important that we begin to normalize the conversation around the challenges that we're experiencing in both ends of the spectrum. So things like mood swings, it's totally normal, whether you're in the perimenopausal transition or going through puberty. Our emotions are going to be a little bit all over the map. It's also normal to have this sort of change in identity. So for the moms, it might be like, oh my gosh, I'm not feeling perhaps as beautiful. Maybe my skin looks a little bit gray or my hair is thinning or whatever it is. There's a constellation of 77 symptoms that can occur during perimenopause. I know, right? It's a lot.
My gosh, I'm pretty sure I've had all 77.
Amen, sister. I'm right there with you.
Oh my goodness.
So when we look at teens, they're just starting to come into like their sexuality or perhaps feeling, you know, perhaps a little more attractive. And so I'd love to just share a little story about when I was a teen. I remember I was giving away some clothes because they didn't fit anymore. And so I'd left them in the living room in a bag. And my mother, who was going through perimenopause at the time, although I didn't know that, she went into the bag and she grabbed a pair of my jeans and she sort of skipped and celebrated that she could fit into my jeans and she was so skinny. And I know, I know. It was sort of like a mental trip for me.
Right.
And so what my reaction was at the time was to sort of shut down and go in my room and feel bad. What I see now is that she was going through her own shift of identity. And if I could go back in time, I would give her a hug and say, you're beautiful. Doesn't matter if these jeans fit or not. And she has since passed. And I bring that up because I think we still have the opportunity to heal even though people have passed. So I have done the work of going back in time and meditation and hugging both of these humans, my mother and my young self, and just kind of educating both of them and saying, you're both beautiful. It's just two different ends of the same spectrum. So again, normalizing the conversation and looking at where they are in the cycle. Additionally, I would tell both of these women, y'all need more sleep. We just need more sleep.
Absolutely. So
for teens, and I'll ask you to speak about this, Dr. Sarah, if you could talk a little bit about how melatonin is a little bit different in teens and how they need more sleep. And then if it's okay with you, I'll jump in with how us older gals need sleep.
Absolutely. And I want to thank you for sharing that story about you and your mom. I know with my mom, there was so many heightened emotions. And I can remember a story where one time we were just not getting along. And we were both so on edge. And then all of a sudden, I feel like I could have started crying, but I ended up started laughing. And then she started laughing. And I guess that's a moment I'll never forget because it did, although maybe looking back, I realized she was just showing me that she's human too. And that, again, that these emotions are all normal and that we're both experiencing them at the same time. And so I really appreciate that story. But going back now to the melatonin. So just for those that are listening, melatonin is something that our body naturally produces. And it is produced when things get dark. So think about in the old days when we didn't have phones and alarms and things like that. When it got dark, our body produces melatonin, which then tells our body it's time to sleep. And then when we'll sleep, and then light actually reduces the amount of melatonin. And then we wake up. And so it seems quite simple. With teens, it's very important. Actually, teens produce quite a bit of melatonin. I think most parents don't realize that teens actually need quite a bit of sleep. And it's not unusual for teens to sometimes sleep a lot. And they might think, oh my gosh, a lot of times they'll bring them to the doctor's office and they'll say, I think there's something wrong with my child because he just wants to sleep all the time. And my answer is, well, how are they when they're awake? Do they still have energy? Are they academically performing? Are they still, what is their mood like, etc.?
And because and really evaluate what their sleep hygiene, like basically what is their environment when they're sleeping. And but what I'm finding is because of the phone or electronics, that reduces the amount of melatonin. And so kids are struggling to sleep. And that can be an issue too. Not to mention the fact that if you don't get good sleep, it really does affect how we react throughout the day. And that can be tough too.
Yeah, it can heighten your emotions. It can compromise your ability to retain information. So imagine if you're in school, but also for the perimenopausal woman, same type of advice. We want her to be aware of her sleep hygiene. You know, what's next to her in the bedroom? Is it just the phone, or can we turn that off or just put it in a drawer? Do we need a little bit of aromatherapy in the room? Does the room need to be a little bit cooler in case she has night sweats? The other thing that I really see is that as estrogen and progesterone decline, we see this sort of inability to relax and just feel totally calm. And so what I do as a yoga teacher is I come in and I help her learn how to trigger that parasympathetic nervous system response, which is relax and restore. And so I might teach her how to meditate before she goes to sleep so that she doesn't just pass out from being so fatigued, and she can actually sort of ease into that really restful sort of calming slumber. So that's sort of where I come from when it comes to sleep.
That sounds wonderful. So I'm glad you brought up that parasympathetic, because backing up, our fight and flight response is that sympathetic system. And I always joke that the sympathetic system is not very sympathetic to us, right? Yeah. And that is like, you know, our edge. That's what kind of makes us feel edgy. And it has use. Because if we did have to run from a bear, for example, we always use that example when we talk about fight or flight, but you never know. And so we have the energy and the ability to do that. But I love that you are teaching others how to engage that parasympathetic system, because that is the calm. And many times I've heard from teens in my practice where they lay down, and I know moms do this too, I know I do, where you're just laying there and all the different things are going through your head, whether it's reliving the events of the day, thinking about all the things that you have to do tomorrow, worrying about a friend, you know, all worrying about just our own emotions and our own body changes. So I appreciate you sharing that. So when we're talking about these changes in emotion, what really helps us tell the difference between a hormonal reaction and a real emotional need, whether it's in ourselves or in our kids?
So what I see is there seems to be a direct correlation to the intensity, right? So if the reaction is, for example, if a mom is in perimenopause and she loves her children, we all love our babies, but all of a sudden she just flies off the handle. And she doesn't mean to, and she feels really bad about it afterwards. And I hear a lot of, oh, I didn't mean to do that. Then I'm like, oh, okay, we need to have a conversation about hormones, as opposed to talking about perhaps mental health. Mental health, of course, is a huge topic that is so important. But I'm going to start to talk about, maybe let's look at like your testosterone levels, and if you're still creating estrogen and progesterone, versus maybe it's time to refer you to someone to talk about mental health with.
I think that's such an excellent comment, because I believe it's the same in teens. Many times it can be that hormonal imbalance that's going on that is also affecting just their emotional state and creating that tension, not only with themselves, but in their relationships. And speaking of those relationships, we know, I mean, there's really something so tender about watching your teen just bloom and become, and, you know, all while we're talking about navigating our own bodies as they're changing. How do we help when with this tension, with this, you know, reflection and healing? How do we kind of really help that bond, that mother-child relationship?
So I think it's really important to have a clear channel of communication and to talk to your teen and say, you know, I understand that you might see that I'm going through a lot of changes. And if I have really big emotions, please be patient with me and talk to me about it. And would it be okay if I do the same with you? You know, so it's not accusatory. It's not like, oh my gosh, your reactions are so much and so are mine. It's really just sort of stepping back and saying, this is a normal part of our biology as humans. And these changes that occur are mirroring one another. And mm-hmm. also to educate our teens about not only what's happening in their bodies, but what's happening in mom's body. So mm-hmm. I remember once I got really, really frustrated with my older son. And I said to him, I'm like, listen, I'm on the edge of menopause. And so my hormones are kind of like doing crazy things. And I don't mean to be so upset. And I love you so much. And would you be open to going with me? I have to get some blood work done to kind of take a look at what's happening inside of me. And he's like, yeah, sure, mom. But it allowed him to sort of understand, like, this is normal. And mm-hmm. and we can look at this and we can find solutions together.
If you liked today's episode and it hits close to home for you or your loved ones, please like, share, and subscribe so others can find this episode and so they know they're not alone. And if you have topics you'd like me to discuss here on Growing Up with Dr. Sarah, reach out to us. Leave us a voice message. Instructions are in the description box below. I love that. I know I remember having conversations with Gabe, especially not just about our own hormonal changes and our mood, but also that kind of change in wanting independence, but also really still wanting that support, you know, and I know that teens are really pushing for that. You know, I remember my son just really wanting, you know, like I'm 17 now or I'm 16. And yet as moms, we feel like we're kind of losing control, not just in parenting, but also in our bodies. And so how do we navigate that without everything turning into a power struggle?
So I think it's really important that we create rituals together as families, whether it's, you know, the evening meal and actually sitting down and having dinner together, or if your kid's in sports, like maybe you sit in the trunk with them and have dinner together in the back of the car. But also because I'm so passionate about the healing power of movement, I'm going to say maybe go for a walk together. Mm-hmm. And there's really interesting research about how teens don't necessarily connect so much when you look at them eye to eye. It can feel a little confrontational in terms of, you know, this is what you should do. But when you're both walking and looking forward, it becomes less accusatory in some way, if you will. Mm-hmm. And we can just both look forward and walk and talk. And it doesn't feel so like, oh my gosh, she's looking into my soul. we're having a conversation and we're moving together. And exercise is really, you know, energy and motion, and we can move emotion in that way. So if you feel like you're having sort of an escalating situation with your teen and you're fighting for that power, you can say, you know what? Time out. We're going to go for a walk. And even if it's two blocks, I promise you there will be a shift.
And I have two thoughts on that. I love that you shared that. I have two thoughts. One is walking is also something that can engage that parasympathetic system, that calming system. So excellent idea that you shared. And it also makes sense because I remember with my own son, one of the best conversations, or some of the best conversations, I should say, we had were actually in the car, because we didn't look at each other. He couldn't walk away from me. I always liked that. I thought, you know what, I'm going to bring it up in the car because he can't walk away. But of course, we did it in a very sensitive manner. And I love that you shared the rituals, because it does help build relationships, which obviously were are so important to us. It also builds that routine, builds self-esteem, and it also gives them a sense of security too, which is so important, I would say, for both the teenager as well as us as caregivers too.
Absolutely. And it's also an opportunity to share our feelings, each of us, and to provide a little bit of education. Part of why I was so passionate about my doctoral dissertation was because I learned that women aren't really educated about perimenopause and menopause. And it might have been, you know, like a 30-second conversation in sex ed 30 years ago.
Right.
So learning about our bodies and then teaching our teens not only about their bodies, but about our bodies, I think can be so powerful. And what was so cool, Sarah, was that in my research, I found that women experience their symptoms as being less intense simply when they understand them.
Wow, that makes sense. And you know, I love that because it really just helps you kind of pause and breathe and really reflect that. Because I remember when I was starting, you know, I was premenopausal, I was pretty sure I was losing my mind. I'm like, I am losing my mind. Like, I don't know what is happening to me. I'm losing it. And I remember a friend who was a little bit older than me. She looked at me and she said, I bet you're starting menopause. And I was like, what? And then once I knew that that actually was what was happening in my body, then yes, I could accept it. I could understand it as real. I knew there wasn't really anything wrong with me. So that is such a wonderful way to put it, that once again, I'm going to reiterate it, and forgive me if I don't say it right, but what I heard you say is that once we understand our symptoms better, we can accept them better as well.
Absolutely. We have a feeling of agency in our own bodies. And so when we understand what's happening, then we can move forward and we can start to look at what helps. And I have to share a really quick story because I'm so proud of my son. So my older son recently had that sex ed talk in high school, mm-hmm. where they have one day that's just for the girls, or pardon mm-hmm. me, it's for everyone in class, but they focus on female anatomy and physiology. Then the next day they've got just for the boys, you know, talking about the changes and sex hormones, et cetera. Now, during the day on the female anatomy, the teacher asked, does anyone know what menopause is? Not one girl raised her hand, which kind of broke my heart. But on the other end of the spectrum, my son raised his hand and said, excuse me, did you want to know about menopause or perimenopause?
Oh, my goodness. I love that. I love that. You should be proud of him. And, you know, that's going to set him up to be a really good partner someday, too, you know, with all of his friends, with, you know, his partner, with those that are around him. Because just, I think, too, we didn't even talk about partners and their response to all the changes. I mean, let's shout out to them as well, because we know they're watching this whole, you know, all this messiness going on. But, and as I mentioned, you know, it's such, you know, I love the idea of seeing this season not as just one of breaking down, but of becoming, both for the teen and the mom. And so I want to really reiterate to those that are listening, and I want to ask, you know, how can we reframe this phase as something really sacred and powerful, even though it is messy?
So I'm a yoga teacher and I get really flowery with my language. And so, like, literally, I'm going to get a little floral here.
I love it. I want you to.
If you can think about teens as blossoming, and they're really sort of beginning to shine and have this growth, and it's so beautiful. And as a woman of a certain age, instead of looking at myself as withering, I look at myself as ripening. And so I'm moving into these wisdom years where I can become the matriarch, and I can become the one who shares and imparts the wisdom to the next generation and becomes eventually, hopefully, like you, a grandmother. I can't wait.
It's awesome. I think it's so important. And I guess I want to know too, I really, want to empower families. You mentioned open that communication. It's just so important. Don't be afraid to talk about it. I know it sadly wasn't a conversation I had with my mom. Luckily, I had an older sister, so I did have somebody that I could turn to. So what would you say to moms who are a little reluctant to starting that conversation with their teen?
I would say first educate yourself about what's happening in your own body. I have a book. It's called Total Body Beautiful that I wrote with two other amazing authors. And we go into the physical, emotional, and mental changes during perimenopause. Understand what's happening in this body, in this vessel. Mm-hmm. And then see if that inspires you to talk to your teen a little bit. And maybe you choose just one element, like, hey, you know, I've noticed my sleep is a little bit different recently. How's yours? So it doesn't have to be this big, scary, you know, like hormonal talk. It can just be like, how you feeling?
Yeah, absolutely. And it doesn't have to be one talk at one moment. You can just have small little conversations along the way. I think going back to that question I had about what I wish I knew as a teenager that I knew now, and that is taking care of our body and our mind is actually, it's not selfish. It's good. It's powerful. And I wish I knew that, you know, when I was young. So if you could offer one piece of advice or encouragement to moms who are navigating menopause, whether it's premenopause, perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause, and parenting a hormonal teen at the same time, what would it be?
Educate yourself. Education is key. And again, education actually has been shown to have an impact on your perception of the intensity of your symptoms. So you feel better. And that's really what I want for everyone. I want everyone to feel great and to feel strong from the inside out. So if learning about, you know, estrogen and progesterone and testosterone, which no one ever talks about in women, mm-hmm. is going to help empower you when you go to speak with your own healthcare professional, I think that's a great place to start.
Yes, and don't be afraid to have the conversation with your teen about how their body is changing too.
Yes, so when your teen is at the table and like mine, all of a sudden they're talking like this, you know, and the voice is going up and down like Peter Brady back in the day. It's a time for compassion and connection and love and patience. And all of that is what we all need.
I couldn't agree more. I am so thankful, Dr. Barlett, that you have shared this moment with me. Where can our listeners go to find more support, resources, or just validation that they're not alone in this change?
Well, I'd love to invite everyone to my site, which is desibodymind.com. It's all one word. And I co-lead international retreats with a wonderful doctor. And we really want to make sure that perimenopausal women are empowered. So if you'd like to come on a retreat with us, please do. If you're looking at me thinking, I don't have time for that, we offer a digital retreat, which is on my website. It's 4 days. You do it at your convenience. And it would be my honor and my joy to share that with each of you.
Thank you so much. Wow. I don't know about you, but I feel seen. This season of life can feel like everything's changing all at once, our bodies, our moods, our roles in the family. But what I'm learning is that there's beauty in the mess and in the growth and in the conversations that we're willing to have. If this episode resonates with you, please share it with a friend, or even better, listen to it with your teen. Let's spark that conversation. Let's be a bridge. And as always, thank you for being here, for parenting through the real, the raw, and with so much heart, and for showing up for Growing Up with Dr. Sarah. Until next time, take care of yourself. Give yourself grace like you do your teens, and let's grow up together. Thank you, Dr. Bartlett, for being here with us. I really appreciate your wisdom and sharing all that you've experienced with your family and also with the advice that you give to those that follow you.
Thank you, Dr. Sarah, for all that you do and for educating each of us on on really how to take care of our children, which are our most precious bright lights in our lives.
Produced by AutoVita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.